A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Yom Gizrael of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Ayin Ches, Shabbos 78, pagination page 155, moving right along in the Masechta. Let's begin with a snippet from the bottom of the page, where the Mishnah begins. Three lines from the bottom. Hamotzi chevel, if one takes rope out on Shabbos, how much is the amount that's considered valuable to be in violation of the malacha of hotza'a transfer? Kidei lasos ozen lekupa, enough rope to be able to make a handle for a basket. And that's, you don't have to make a whole basket, you don't need enough rope to make the whole basket. Enough to make the handle, that's valuable. You're upgrading the basket from a non-handle basket to having a handle. I guess you could hang it on a hook when for storage, or move it by grabbing the handle. Gemi reed kidei lasas teloy lenafo lukvara, to make a handle for a sieve. And again, that's the amount that you would need. It's a small amount, but it does have a quantity. Rabbi Yehuda kidei lito mimeno midas minol lekatan. Rabbi Yehuda says the amount is that they would measure a child's foot, and then go to the shoemaker and say the length from his foot to the sole of from the tip of his foot to the sole is the same amount as this piece of rope, this piece of string. And then they would know how to make the shoe. I had last night, we were working on maps with one of my children, so you have a scale, and then you have to check the distance from one city to the next. You take a piece of paper, mark it on the distance from the cities, and then you move to the scale, and that amount, that distance, it's a basic form of measurement. Not always do you have the proper measurements available. Instead, you simply say the same length as this is something else. I mentioned to you when I want to check an Eruv, the height of a fence, so I know where on my waist is approximately 40 inches, 10 tefachim, and you just walk up to the fence and you can tell we're on you. You don't always carry a tape measure. That's this concept. Niyor, which is what I want to focus on, paper, kidei lichtov alav kesha muchsin, the amount to write a receipt from a tax. They would cross the bridge, right? Today they ask you, do you need a receipt? Unless you're on Easy Pass, then they don't tell you anything. But if you go to a cash lane, receipt, you ask for a receipt, that's this kesha muhsin. They would give you a stamp that typically had two letters on it, and that was the receipt that you paid the tax. The motza kesha muhsin chayiv. And likewise, not only the amount of paper that you could write these two letters on it, but also one who would take a kesha muhsin that already had written on it the two letters is chayiv. We'll have to see why. But it was some sort of a receipt. It had value that you paid the tax, and they would not demand the tax again. Turn the page to the top. Niyar machuk, a piece of paper that is already erased and apparently unusable, unlike klaf, for example, that even after you erase the letter, you scratch it out, you could still write on it. We have this all the time. A Sefer Torah might need a little correction. It's possible to erase and fix. A mezuzah, as you're writing it, erase and fix. By paper, it was assumed it had no more use. Kidei lichroch al tzlochis katana shal palyaton. Its use would be, it has to be big enough that you could cover a flask of oil, of good-smelling oil. That was the smallest amount they could come up with a use for such a piece of paper. It's already not usable for writing. Okay. Let's drop down to the bottom part of this page, and it's probably like 20 lines up at the end of a line. Tanu Rabbanon. The Rabbanon learnt. It's like the last quarter of the page, and the beginning of the next line starts, Hamotzi Kesha Muhsin, one who takes out this tax receipt on Shabbos. So the Gemara starts analyzing what's the case exactly that it's considered a violation, meaning that it has value. And this, by the way, let your mind think, any case of a receipt, we're asking, when do receipts have value and when are they simply things that fly around your house or car meaningless with no value? So the Gemara says, Ad shelo hir'ehu lemuchas, before you show it to the tax collector, meaning apparently you paid the tax and you took the receipt and then you walked to the next guy and showed that I already paid the tax. So chayiv. If you did not yet show it to the tax collector, so carrying this thing on Shabbos would be a Shabbos violation because it has value. Mishaher eyu lemuchas, once you show the tax collector the sign of the day, the two letters that are on your receipt, once you showed it to him, potter. If you would carry that receipt out on Shabbos, you would not be in Shabbos violation because it has no use. And this is what we're saying. Only things that have use are going to be the classic Shabbos violation. Might be forbidden midrabanan, maybe other factors, but it's not going to be a chiyuv chatos, atonement korban. Rabbi Yehuda says, af mir sheher eyu lemuchas chayiv, even after you show it to the tax collector, you're still chayiv, it still has value, mipnei shetzorich lo, because you need it as a receipt. Ask the Gemara Mai Benayu, what's the difference? What are you trying to come to include that I still need it as a receipt? Amar Abaye explained, Ike Benayu rihiti muchsa. If they have toll chasers, meaning people who chase you after you left the bridge because they think that you evaded the toll. So if they have this type of thing, so then you want to hold on to your receipt for a while. Picture our scenario. Person's supposed to hold on to their tax-related papers for a few years because they can still chase after you, even though you filed and they accepted your filing. They might even have written you that you made a mistake in your calculation. Here's $200 coming to you because you miscalculated. They could still chase after you up to 5 years or whatever it is. So you're holding on to your receipt because they might chase after you. The Gemara continues, what happens if there are no toll chasers? Rava Omar, Muchas Godol, Muchas Katan, Ike Benayu. They have two different toll collectors. There's the big guy, the guy in charge, and you paid him, and you feel that you're fine. But sometimes he puts in his place, as a substitute, a different person who might not remember that you paid already. And the question is, does the head guy tell the second guy that you paid? I had an interesting incident last week. I walked into a store to return the item that I bought that morning. So I came with my receipt and everything was in order. But before I even pulled out the receipt or anything, the lady in a store in Pennsauken here picked me out of the crowd and said, yeah, he bought that this morning. He bought that clock this morning. So the yarmulke, he said, she recognized me in a second. I didn't need the receipt. So if the muchas katan is told by the muchas gadol that you paid, there's no problem. You don't need to hold on to your receipt. But if you don't have that communication, you need that receipt, and it depends how that particular bridge is working. Ravashi Omar Chad Muchas Eke Benayu, even if you have one toll collector, there still is value in your receipt. Listen to this. Mepnei shetzorech lo laharas lemuchas sheni, because you need to show it to the next toll collector by the next bridge, the Omar lay to tell him, Chazi gaver demuchas ano, look, I'm a guy who pays tolls. You don't have to worry about me. And you pay your toll and they treat you differently. It's like the guy who has all his firefighter contributions on his front window. I'm this type of person. Treat me differently. And these are all factors to keep in mind, not just in the Gemara, but in daily life. It's like an attitude. The Gemara is telling you why you would hold on to a piece of paper. Now, there is a big machlokas we should be aware of, generally, regarding paper. If our society, things have changed because we're affluent. And this is not only in terms of hotzah, it also affects the laws of muktza. There's an opinion from some of the poskim that you're not allowed to handle a blank sheet of paper, or an index card, for example, on Shabbos, because it's muktza. Muktza, chisar, and kis. Is there anything more valuable than a blank piece of paper that you could write on? And on Shabbos, you can't write on it, so it has no use. So it's muktza. There's a question about a notebook that has, you know, one page used and the rest of it is blank paper. How do you handle that notebook on Shabbos? It's majority muktzah, are very, 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 very valuable things. We have stories of Gedolim in Europe who didn't have paper and they had to write their Chidushei Torah on the walls of their house. In a paper. How do you live without paper? And we live in a society where it's a come on before school. You could buy a notebook, 70 sheets, for 10 cents or less. So how do you... We use index cards. I use them as place marks when I'm doing research. In Sfarim, I shouldn't have to find the place again. I throw in an index card. It's nice, neat, beautiful. Right? So according to strict halacha, you look at the Gemara, forget about a receipt for the purpose of proving anything. A receipt has value because you could write on the back of it. It's paper. You could write your Dvar Torah for Shabbos table on the back of a receipt and then bring it Shabbos to the table and you have your Dvar Torah all written up. Some receipts you can't write on the back unless you got a very special pen. But how do you, not just Hotzah issues, but Muktzah issues as well. Mm-hmm. What is considered so valuable and what do you have the right to say? Well, it has multiple uses. And you use it as you see fit. Okay, something to think about. Yeshua Koach, have a great day.